CliffCentral.com.
All right, Ted Blom is on the line. He's an independent energy analyst. Load shedding is a surprise to some of us, not to Ted. We started this year having him on the show back in January. You remember him warning us and telling us Eskom was a disaster. Well, some of the things he cited included unmitigated corruption, deep-seated mismanagement, and consumers being sucked into higher tariffs. He's on the line right now. Hey, Ted, how are you?
Hi, good morning to you.
Nice to speak to you again. I'm sorry that we have to, because it usually means we're up shit creek without a paddle. You're on a quest to make citizens more aware of what's happening at the power utility, and you've linked the level of load shedding to the level of breakdowns within Eskom. I mean, this Eskom has got to be one of the worst managed entities in all of human history, not just in South Africa and in SOEs, right?
Yeah, I think I could go with you, Gareth.
So what is exactly going on there at the moment? Because there was this shambolic press conference, and the guy from ENCA tried his best to acquit himself with the likes of Jabu Mabuza and Pravin Gordhan and some guy they kept calling Mr. Jan. I don't think they knew what his surname was on ENCA.
Jan Oberholzer.
That's right. Okay, so what's going on there? Because the explanations we heard from them were anything from wet coal to this one is in scheduled maintenance to this is a problem with rain and deliveries. And what actually happened over the last few days that we got to stage six? And how did we just skip past stage five?
Okay, so I think the only thing that can be said about that interview is that the pictures were nice.
Tell but me what
nevertheless,
happened.
Let me try and take it through. What has happened is that we had what Eskom would probably call a black swan event, where a whole lot of issues occurred at the same time. I don't think it's a black swan event. I think at least half of it was management ineptitude. And let's take it through. There were a couple of events. One was Medupi, two burners were lost due to the conveyor feeding the furnaces misfiring. And that's a concern, because that conveyor is going to run for the next 60 years, and it's already run for 6 years. So that shouldn't be having problems so early in its lifetime. So and Eskom's investigating that. They'll come back on that. The second issue was flooding at three power stations. That is man-made. That means that there was bad housekeeping. The drains weren't properly kept clean and so forth and so on. And that I certainly would put at the foot of Eskom's management. They're not doing their jobs properly. The third issue was fine coal, and that I attributed to corruption. Worldwide, coal contracts specify that not more than 10% of coal may be fined. Fines is minus 5 millimeter product, so it tends to be on the powdery side. Mm-hmm. And there is a reason for that. The reason is that minus 5 material, when it gets wet, behaves like Johnson's baby powder. It clings like hell onto anything.
Right.
And this wet stuff then clings onto the conveyor and goes round and round and round and round and doesn't jump off into the fire. You then lose your fire. Now, the reason I say that's probably attributable to corruption is that if only 10% is allowed to be delivered, it means there's a surplus of funds in any operation of no commercial value. But if Eskom's paying top dollar for fines and has a surplus of fines, that's indicative that somebody's buying those fines and paying top dollar for it, and therefore the supplier can afford to pay massive kickbacks.
Now,
I don't know if that story sort of sounds logical to you.
Yeah, it does sound logical to me. Is there any way government can, because they're the shareholder, we keep being told, is there any way government can regain control of this situation? Is there any way that we can prevent this from happening again? And who is in charge of maintenance at these plants? Medupi and Kusile we keep hearing about, but it seems to me that across the board, maintenance has really been put on the back burner for the last 10 years or more.
Okay. Yes, no, that's a fact, and that I pointed out at the NERSA hearings. So most of the maintenance is outsourced. It's outsourced to a company in which the chairman is a significant shareholder, and in fact a BE partner. So that's already a conflict of interest. You also have other conflicts of interest. He's a supplier of expensive coal to Eskom, and he also supplies very expensive gadgets and dials and instruments to Eskom via another BE company that he's associated with. So I asked, how can you adjudicate these tenders if you're the chairman and you're the acting CEO?
Right.
And he said he recused himself. The question then arises, how do you pay a guy millions of rands a year in salary if he has to recuse himself from 75% of the meetings?
Yeah, it's almost as if this was put together by the worst possible people with the least possible amount of forethought. And sabotage things.
Then you've got a minister who last year, exactly a year ago, you'll recall this when I tell you the story.
Yeah.
Exactly a year ago, the minister proudly announced that he'd cancelled all Eskom's leave.
Yes.
And we, in a worse situation than we were a year ago in January 2018, when the new board was announced, the new CEO was announced, and the COO only came later. But we're in a worse situation. Eskom's got more debt. The maintenance is further backlogged. And the coal supply agreements that are more than 10 years outstanding have still not been signed off. In fact, they're only busy discussing the first one, and there's already talk of excessive pricing and corruption taking place in that agreement. As far as the maintenance backlog is concerned, in 2010, Eskom took a deliberate decision to keep the lights on for the World Soccer Tournament. And that meant not taking units off to do maintenance. For 4 years, they then forgot to switch back on the maintenance, and the money disappeared. 14 billion rand a year just disappeared, notwithstanding that no maintenance was done. That created a massive backlog. I at the time said it'll take 5 years to catch up at least. Eskom said now they'll catch it up within a year. Well, it's now 10 years or 9 years later, and that maintenance is bigger than ever. Maintenance backlog is bigger than ever before. So you're sitting with an animal that's really in a precarious situation. Eskom's actually dead. The only reason it's still sort of breathing is because of the cash injections that come through every 6 months or so.
And then what do we do with that cash? Do we buy oil and just burn that? I mean, how exactly are they providing the power we get intermittently at the moment?
Okay, so they've got long-term agreements, and they go into arrears with some of those agreements from time to time, but those faithful mining houses don't have anybody else to supply such large volumes, so they just keep on supplying Eskom. The bailouts basically go in the front door and out the back. There's very little operational impact on Eskom. It's used to service arrear debt or debt coupons, some of it might leak into the arrear maintenance account, but from what I pick up, it's just the funds cost overruns and the non-paying electricity consumers, like, for instance, Soweto and the municipalities.
Well, I know you have to go, Ted, but it's always good to talk to you, and thanks for clearing this up for us. Have we got anything to look forward to? More power cuts, more disasters? How would you sketch the next couple of months going forward?
Okay, so I called the current load shedding about a week ago. I warned my clients that the load shedding was imminent because the signs were very strong. This load shedding will carry on for at least the next 5 years. It will carry on for 5 years after the new coal supply agreements have been signed off and implemented. It takes 5 years to develop a new mine, and you cannot run a utility like this if you don't know what's in the pantry. Currently, Eskom is buying more than 30% of its coal ad hoc from people next to the road. There's no quality control. There's no accounting control. It's just a complete mess. And you described it very well last year, but it's a word I'm reluctant to use.
A clusterfuck. I'll say it again. Thank you so much, Ted. Nice to talk to you and appreciate your time. Thank you. Ted Blom, who is an energy expert and independent energy consultant and analyst. And there he is, basically agreeing that Eskom is a clusterfuck. Now, if you ever wanted to know what failure looked like, this is it. CliffCentral.com